As house party shuts down, where's the party going? Maybe the metaverse. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Marielle Segarra, in for Molly Wood. Next month, Epic Games will shut down House Party, the group video chatting app that got popular in the pandemic. It says it's going to focus instead on the metaverse. The metaverse. What is that exactly? That is a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. There's disagreement about what the metaverse will be, making it, frankly, a little hard to explain. But people say it's essentially the next evolution of the internet, a virtual world that you'd move through with, some say, just one identity, not a bunch of separate logins or accounts. And you could do things in it like attend a virtual concert, sit in a virtual conference room, or go to a virtual shopping mall. I asked Alexander Lee, a reporter at Digiday covering esports and gaming, who would want this? He said it's partly a generational thing.
Nowadays, you know, people are using the internet and they're entering virtual worlds like Roblox basically from the moment they can start to read and use these devices. You know, children are kind of the main audience or user base of a lot of these quote-unquote proto-metaverse platforms right now. I mean, there are 14 or 15-year-olds who have learned how to code and are already raking in thousands of dollars with their own businesses on these platforms. To me, again, I don't think it's whether people want it or not. I think the companies that are trying to build a metaverse are correctly anticipating that people, and especially people in these younger generations, will just not see a barrier between the things that they do and accomplish in physical space and the things that they do in virtual space.
Will the economy of the metaverse be integrated with our real world economy, or is it going to be kind of stand on its own?
I think it will be integrated into the economy of the real world. My prediction is that cryptocurrency in some form will be, you know, like kind of the fundamental unit of transaction in the metaverse, but that will still be tied to the real economy because, you know, fundamentally the value of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies comes from the exchange of them with traditional physical currencies. So in that sense, the economies will certainly be connected. And then, of course, non-fungible tokens, NFTs, will be kind of the fundamental unit of private property in the metaverse.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, why would you want to just recreate what you can already do in real life?
I think accessibility is one big reason. You know, if you think about people who are disabled and can't leave their homes, maybe people who are socially disabled or have some kind of mental disability, I think opening up virtual events and perhaps integrating physical events with virtual events could be huge for those people. And also just for people who can't maybe afford to travel or to attend expensive concerts, for example. If there is a concert experience in the metaverse, that could be a great way for someone to, you know, watch their favorite artist in something that approaches the experience of actually going into the arena and watching them live.
Is House Party in the metaverse now? Like, I noticed they said they're shutting down because they want to focus on communication on a metaverse scale. So I don't really get it. Like, was it in the metaverse before?
No, I wouldn't describe House Party as a metaverse platform. I mean, House Party was fundamentally a video chat platform. I think in order for it to be more of a metaversal socializing platform, there needs to be more ways to bring in those nonverbal elements of communication that are so important in the real world. And I don't just mean like nodding or raising your hand. I also mean the natural and seamless ability to pull someone into a side conversation without interrupting the flow of the main conversation. Right now, video chat apps like House Party and Zoom really feel like they're seminars with one person presenting at a time. And that's just not how real conversation happens. And I think for it to be more metaversal, it needs to be more organic.
Yeah, I mean, because one thing I'm thinking about is like during the pandemic, we couldn't see many people in person for a while. And so I was glued to my phone and my computer as a lifeline, like my only connection to other human beings for a while. And I don't ever want to go back to that. But are there people who feel the opposite?
Right now, it does feel like yeah, the last thing that we want to do is exist virtually and be in Zoom calls for the rest of our lives. But one of the key differences is that I think metaverse platforms will allow us to more and more accurately recreate exactly the experience of existing in the physical world on the internet. If you look at things like Horizon Workrooms, It's a platform that Facebook released in August. The idea is that you can use Oculus headsets in order to feel like you're co-working in the same room as another person who may be wearing their Oculus miles away from you. To me, it's a much more organic and seamless way of interacting digitally than things like Zoom. But let's just, you know, fast forward 20 years to the future. If we can use VR technology or just immersive digital technology in some ways, and I think the fatigue and just the stress that comes with living digitally the way that we have over the pandemic would be reduced pretty significantly.
Do you think the pandemic accelerated the development of the metaverse?
I think it both accelerated the development of the metaverse in that Facebook started to develop tools like Horizon Workrooms, like Epic Games, for example, purchased House Party. And they're just in general trying to, I think, take advantage of the fact that people are grasping for ways to socialize digitally. But I think more importantly, there have just been widespread societal and cultural changes as a result of the pandemic. So technologically, I think there was some acceleration, but really, I think the most important impact of the pandemic was just culturally preparing people for digital life and virtual life.
Alexander Lee is a reporter at Digiday covering esports and gaming. And now for some related links. There's been a lot written about the metaverse, what it is, what it's not, what makes it different from the regular old internet. We'll link to a couple stories that attempt to explain it. One way to think about it, beyond what we've said already, is that right now most people experience the internet in a two-dimensional format. We're generally audience members watching a screen or typing text to each other. In the metaverse, you could still do that, but you could also participate in virtual reality as an avatar, and you could move around and interact with other folks in real time. We'll also link to a story from Adweek with 10 things you need to know about the metaverse. One of those things? It's probably best to not overthink the metaverse. Too late for me. Alexander talked about accessibility and how the metaverse could make it easier for people with disabilities to do things like attend a concert. Brittany Wilson is director of the Civil Rights and Disability Justice Clinic at New York Law School. She has cerebral palsy and walks with arm crutches and uses a motorized scooter to get around. She said during the pandemic, she watched a lot of concerts that were live streamed online.
All of a sudden, I can watch it directly from my living room and not have to worry about, even if I buy a concert ticket, somebody standing in front of me and my view being blocked, things like that.
And live stream concerts are not exactly the same as metaverse concerts, but you could see the same logic applying. Metaverse concerts are already happening, by the way. A couple big names like Travis Scott and Ariana Grande have done them through the video game Fortnite. And to be clear, these are not like videos of Ariana Grande performing on a stage somewhere. Instead, you see an animated avatar of the singer with her long purple ponytail, wearing a glittering crop top, skirt, and knee-high boots. And she's singing and dancing around in these imaginary, otherworldly locations, on a shimmering globe in outer space, in a pink bubble. She even sprouts wings and starts to fly at one point. So yeah, stuff she couldn't do so easily on a real-life stage or on Zoom. I'm Marielle Segarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.